The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
This year, and I've entitled the message today, How Can You Be Thankful in All Things? And I hope you can see that overhead, that looks like a lady. It appears to be a lady. She's got a beautiful rose, and she's kind of holding her finger. I don't know if you can see that clearly, but it's bleeding. The thorns got her, okay? And for our text today, we're using 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And it says, For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Father, we submit ourselves to your divine will. Lord, we realize that if you don't teach us, we could never understand. We realize that your word is breathed by you. It is you, it's your DNA, it's your personality, it's your instructions for us. And Lord, your ways are way beyond anything we could ever imagine or think. So we need you, Holy Spirit, to teach us the things that we need to know in order to serve you. So, Father, we open ourselves up. We ask for your divine intervention in us and through us this morning as we study your word. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.
Sandra felt as low as the heels of her shoes when she pulled open the floor's shop door against a November gust of wind. Her life had been as sweet as a spring breeze until then, in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident had stolen her joy. This was Thanksgiving week, in the time that she should have delivered their infant son. She grieved their loss, and troubles had multiplied. Her husband's company threatened to transfer his job to a new location. Her sister had called and said that she could not come for the long-awaited holiday visit. What's worse, Sandra's best friend suggested that Sandra's grief was a God-given path to maturity, and that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. She has no idea how I feel, thought Sandra as she shuddered. Thanksgiving. Thankful for what? She wondered. For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her. For the airbag that saved her life, but took the life of her child. Good afternoon. Can I help you? Sandra was startled by the approach of the shop clerk. I need an arrangement, she stammered. For Thanksgiving? I am convinced that flowers tell stories, the clerk continued. Are you looking for something that will convey gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the past 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst and was surprised when the clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. Then the bell on the door rang, and the clerk greeted the new customer. Hi, Barbara. Let me get your order. She excused herself and walked back to the small workroom, then quickly reappeared, carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and what appeared to be long-stemmed, thorny roses. Except the ends of the rose stems were neatly nipped, and there were no flowers. Do you want these in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched. What was this joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? She waited for the laughter, but neither of the women laughed. "Yes, please," Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. "You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance. But I can feel it right here, all over again," she said, as she gently tapped her chest. Sandra stammered. That lady just left. She left with no flowers." That's right, said the clerk. "I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorn Bouquet. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago, feeling much as you do today," explained the clerk. "She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had just lost her father to cancer. The family business was failing. Her son had gotten into drugs. She was facing major surgery. That same year, I had lost my husband. And for the first time in my life, I would spend the holidays alone. I had no children and no husband and no family nearby and too much debt to allow myself to travel." "So what did you do?" asked Sandra. "I learned to be thankful for the thorns," answered the clerk quietly. "I've always thanked God for the good things in my life, and I never questioned Him why those good things had happened to me. But when the bad stuff hit, I cried out, 'Why? Why me?' It took time for me to learn that the dark times are important to our faith. I have always enjoyed the flowers of my life, but it took the thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from His consolation, we learn to comfort others." Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about her friend who had tried to tell her, "I guess the truth is, I don't want to be comforted. I've lost my baby, and I'm angry with God." Just then, someone else walked into the shop. "Hey, Phil," the clerk greeted the bald, rotund man. "My wife sent me by to get our usual Thanksgiving arrangement. 12 thorny, long-stemmed stems," Phil laughed as the clerk handed him a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerator. "Are those for your wife?" asked Sandra. "Do you mind telling me why she wants a bouquet that looks like that?" "Well, 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced," Phil replied. "After 40 years, we were in a real mess. With the Lord's grace and guidance, we trudged through the problem after problem. The Lord rescued our marriage. Jenny here, the clerk, told me she kept a vase of rose stems to remind her of what she had learned from thorny times. That was good enough for me. I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for the specific problems and gave thanks for what that problem had taught us." As Phil paid the clerk, he said to Sandra, "I highly recommend the special." "I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life," said Sandra to the clerk. It's just all too fresh." "Well," the clerk replied carefully, "my experience has shown me that the thorns make the roses more precious. We cherish and treasure God's providential care more during times of trouble than any other time. Remember that it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so that we might know His love. Don't resent the thorns." Tears rolled down Sandra's cheek for the first time since the accident. She loosened the grip on her resentment. "I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns," she said. "I'd hoped you would," said the clerk gently. "I'll have them ready for you in a minute." "Thank you. What do I owe you?" "Nothing. Nothing but a promise to follow God, to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me." The clerk smiled and handed Sandra a card. "I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you would like to read it first." It read, "My God, I've never thanked you for my thorns. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear, Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. And show me that through my tears, the colors of your rainbow are much more brilliant. Let us all praise him for the roses and thank him for the thorns. God bless all of you. Be thankful for all that the Lord does for you. Live simply, live generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. I went to the Lord and I laid my complaint before him. And he heard me in my affliction. And he came and he comforted me. And he delivered me from all my trouble.
Amen. Amen. You know, God's ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are certainly not our thoughts. He's the only one that can make the square circle. He's the only one that can make a burden light. He's the only one that can turn troubles into glory. He's the only one that can make you thankful in all things. He's the only one that can do that. It's not something that we can do of our own strength and our own ability and our own power. It takes God. And the key to it that makes it all function and work, it's a matter of perspective. What do you see when you see? You know, fortunately, those of us who have good vision, even if it's done through the miracle of cataract surgery. I've had both, so I guess it doesn't matter. I see perfectly well without my glasses if I want to see you, but if I want to read, I have to use these things in order to read. But, you know, what do you see when you see? You know, the old expression, looking through life through what? Rose-colored glasses, right? You know, you've got things distorted. But there are spiritual eyes that we need to see with. That's what our passage of Scripture said this morning. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Are you talking square circles again, Pastor? How do you see what's not seen? Jesus and the Pharisees, in a conversation he had with them. I love to read the stories about Jesus and the Pharisees because I don't think of Jesus as a little meek and mild-mannered guy who walked around with a halo around his head. I see him as a really tough guy. You don't mess with him because he'll verbally will just tell you the truth, and when the truth needs to be seen, he's a tough guy. And he said, if you guys could see, you wouldn't be blind. You would know what's going on. And they said, what, are we blind? They didn't get it. Paul, when he was touched by God on the Damascus Road, he couldn't see. And when God sent a man to him, it prayed for him, it said scales fell from his eyes so that he could see. Paul was looking with the wrong set of eyes. He was looking through religious, looking through normal with the eyes of a man. He was persecuting the church. And from that day on, Paul saw differently. He saw things in a different way. He saw with spiritual eyes. I love the story of the blind man that Jesus healed. And when everyone was all in an uproar about it, and they finally cornered him and they said, tell us who did this thing. And he says, I don't know. All I know is I was once blind and now I see. And that's the way we need to deal with the things of life to make us thankful in all things. Is it possible to give thanks in all things? Absolutely. That's what the Scripture said. In all things to give thanks. But as I said earlier, that we've learned so much about the natural things of life that we haven't learned much about the spiritual things of life. And so I want us to look at things spiritually this morning. And I want to start by showing you a video that we've seen before, but it'll set the stage for what I have to say the rest of the morning. So it's okay to make a little noise doing this video because it will stir your very soul. We got it, Jim? Jim forgot. Do you have it?
He have it.
1001. That's Jim's favorite last words. Give me 30 seconds. If you need to wait, I can wait a little bit for it. Oh, well, we'll just go on. If you get it, we'll do it later, but it's no big deal. I can always recover from that. Who put all this electronic stuff in the church anyway? I mean, who did that? My wife looks at me as if I was a guilty one. What's wrong with just carrying the old Bible?
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. King of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. The king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords.
Hallelujah.
That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son.
Yes.
He's a sinner's savior.
Yes.
He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology.
Yes.
He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient
Savior.
I wonder if you know him today.
Mm-hmm.
He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves.
Yes.
He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides.
Yes.
He heals the sick.
Yes.
He cleanses the lepers.
Yes.
He forgives sinners.
Yes.
He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate.
Hallelujah.
He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge.
Yes.
He's a wellspring of wisdom.
Hallelujah.
He's a doorway of deliverance.
Glory.
He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory.
Yes.
Do you know him?
Yes.
Well, his life is matchless.
Yes.
His goodness is limitless.
Yes.
His mercy is everlasting.
Glory.
His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is
easy.
And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you.
Woo!
Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible.
Yes.
You can't get him out of your mind.
Woo!
You can't get him off of your head.
Yes.
You can't outlive him.
Yes.
And you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him.
Yes.
But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't have him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
That's
my king.
That's
my king.
Yes.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah. Is that a different set of eyes? Huh? That's seeing things the way they really are. Really are. And I want to talk to you about the troubles of life today and the things that we go through. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is don't let your troubles get you down. Don't let them get you down. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. You know, it's hard for a rose to grow when somebody's standing on the petals. You know, if you won't let it out of the ground, it'll never grow. It won't be anywhere. And it'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to see it. You won't be able to see the thorns or the blossom itself. And what life does and God allows is troubles. I know you'd like to hear me preach a nice soft sermon for you and tell you that you don't have any troubles in life, but of all the things I am, I'm not a liar. And I tell you the truth. Life is filled with trouble. That's what the Scripture says. Man's days but few and filled with troubles. And the only way to overcome your troubles is through Christ Jesus, the King that we just heard described. And that'll get you through it. You can't let these things get you down. You get pressed hard, but when the hard presses come in, you know what it does? It makes you forget about the minor irritations of life. The things that were important suddenly are not important at all anymore. You know, we get perplexed. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of days that I sit in my office or sit in my car or lay on my bed and I just scratch my head. I say, God, what are you doing? Do you have any idea what's going on in my life and those around me? I love the bumper sticker I saw many years ago. I wish I could have gotten it. I ought to create it and sell it, probably get rich selling it. Probably get sued for copyright infringement. But it said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Think of it. Some of you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll get that. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? We get perplexed, but friends, God is not perplexed. He's not wondering about what's going on. Do you have the mind of Christ? Is the mind of Christ functioning within you? The Scripture says we do have the mind of Christ, but we overshadow the mind of Christ with our own carnality and our own way of thinking and our own way of seeing. I want to talk about three things that trouble does for you. Trouble functions in our lives. It tends to wean us from the world. It tends to, like a puppy that is taken from its mom, troubles wean us away from the world. With the stuff that we lose suddenly loses its importance. For instance, let's say you went down to the car dealership. Some of you may have done it this week, and I'm glad you were able to do it. Went and bought yourself a new automobile. Or maybe you bought it last week or last month or whatever. And you know the joy of bringing that thing home. It just smells so good, you know. And everything works for that first week. And you know how happy you are to have it. It looks so good. The paint's so shiny. But you've been having this little ache in your side. And it's just been annoying you. And even the new car can't make the ache go away. And you go see your favorite doctor and he says, well, we did a CAT scan, a PET scan, and all the other scans. And I hate to tell you this, but you've got a real deadly cancer and you're not going to make it. How important is that automobile to you? Not at all, is it? You wouldn't care what happens to that shiny red, blue, green, black, white, whatever thing it is that you bought. See, troubles will change your perspective and wean you away from the things of the world. One of our problems, beloved, is that we cling to this physical world as if it was everything. And sometimes God needs to allow things to come into our lives to make sure that we cling to the cross and not to the things of the world. Get our focus in the right direction. I had a guy I used to work for, and it's a long story, but he was sick, and I asked him if I could pray for him, and he told me no. He said, if I want prayer, he said, I'll go to church, but you can't pray for me. He was a vice president of the company, and I was just a lowly computer programmer, so since he wrote and signed my checks, I just listened to him. But when troubles showed up in his life, and he lost the vice presidency, they took his Cadillac automobile away from him, that was a company car, and when they took his stock away from him, they had the company, and he was distraught, and a big problem showed up, guess who got to pray for him? Well, you're looking at him. He was willing to listen to me then, because his perspective has changed. And I not only got to pray for him, I got to lead him to the Lord. And the good news is that about 4 or 5 years ago, if my memory serves me right, he went on to glory. He's with the Lord this very day. See how you can be weaned from the things of this world? Troubles function in our lives to purify our hearts enabled us to break off from sin. See, some of us have our little pet sins. They're not, we don't call them sin, we just call them habits. And we just can't get rid of them. And we don't really want to get rid of them bad enough to do anything about getting rid of them. But a trouble comes in through your door. You know, you might start making deals with God. God, I won't do that anymore if you just get me out of this one. I mean, maybe you've been cheating on your income tax. I promise you, you'll quit cheating your income tax when the envelope shows up and says, the IRS demands an audit of your income tax return for the last 5 years. That's not what this is, but it's just a good little prop that I'm holding up for you. Lord, I don't need that trouble. I just want to... Lord, I don't need that trouble. just want to make that clear. That's not what I have in my mind. But you see how when trouble shows up, it'll purify you, stop doing some stuff. You know, you start making deals, start getting the right perspective on things. When trouble shows up, it'll cause you to look to God for help in all of your trials. You learn to cry out to Him when things aren't going well. I wish it was different. I really wish it was different. I wish we creations of God were better at serving God all the time. But all of us, and everybody gets a mirror. I wish I had a... One of these days, maybe we'll do that, Greg. Maybe we'll get mirrors and we'll put them on the pews where we got all those bullets so people know who I'm talking about when I say, you know, look in the mirror. You know, say, oh, they must be talking about me. You know, we just, instead of serving God when things are going well, it many times takes a crisis for us to really turn to Him. Well, you know what? If that's what it takes, glory be to God. If that's what it takes, Jesus said, you'd be better off going through life maimed and blind or missing a hand. And I understand missing hands, all right, so... Then it would be to end up in the fires of hell. Well, you might be born again. You're not worried about going to hell. I'm not worried about you going to hell either if you're born again. But I tell you what, you live like the devil, you're going to smell like the devil. You'll have that aroma around you. You stay around in his play yard for a while. So sometimes God lets trouble come into your life just to get you going in the right direction. Amen? All right. Number two, about how to... You can be thankful in all things. Let Christ be revealed through you. 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we, do you catch that? That the life of Jesus might also be revealed in our body. You got that mirror? Look in the mirror. Okay, it's right there in front of you on its front pew. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. When you're free from trouble, nobody really notices it. And if the truth be known, that if you're doing real well, you know, you're getting promotions on the job and you're getting a bigger car than the Joneses and you got a bigger house than the Joneses and maybe you had to move away from the Joneses, you know, maybe whatever it is. Some people don't like you being successful. They're envious. I want to have what you have, and they don't like you having the good things and the good job and all those things because everything's going so well. But when trouble comes, and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see you stand in the midst of trouble, you got their attention. Because they want to know why you can do something that they can't do. Because they have the same kinds of troubles, but they find themselves pressed down, crushed, perplexed, unable to cope with life. Committing suicide. Suicide is rampant in our society, in our town, in our community. Marriages can't get held together anymore. It's an epidemic. People can't live with each other anymore. They've got too many problems. They can't get them solved. But when you show up and can handle marital problems, anybody who tells me, oh, well, I'm married, my wife and I don't have any problems, you're a liar. You may have your head in the sand, but I guarantee you got problems. I remember the time an elder in the church came to me with his wife, and he sat on my sofa with Pat, and he was distressed and distraught beyond measure. He's crying. He's a very successful man in business and a successful man in the church. And he's sitting there with his wife, and his wife, he says, my wife wants to leave me. And she says, I don't love you anymore. And if I'd have talked to him a week earlier, they'd have told me they never had a problem. Sometimes you got problems, you just want to address them. I'll tell you something about husband and wife relationships. Those problems won't go away. You can ignore them. You can put them under the rug. Pat and I used to know how to do that. We had so many things stuffed under our rug, looked like the Rocky Mountains. No, blah, blah, blah. It'd tear the chassis right out of your car if you tried to drive on it. And then we got saved, and we said, we need to deal with some of these issues because they're there. We're getting to work on it. And we have a great relationship today. Not trouble-free. Every once in a while, Pat will mess up, and I have to correct her. You know? And every once in a while, I've been known to mess up myself. I know it's hard to believe. I know, Wayne, you're having trouble dealing with that, aren't you? Because you and Joanne have the perfect marriage, right? But when you have problems and you can solve them and your neighbor sees you solving them in Christ, now you've got something that they're interested in. They're not interested in your new car. They're not interested in your new house. They're not interested in your prosperity. But they're interested in you. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and catastrophe hits your life, and you're able to stand, that gets their interest. That's Christ shining through you. And much of what's wrong with the world is they don't see Christ shining through us because we're living like hell, like the world. And the devil and his crowd run roughshod right over the believers, and we just take it day after day. If you want to change the world, friend, you better let Christ shine through you in the troubles, because we all have our troubles. I've told you this story before, and I don't want to belabor it, but it's worthwhile repeating because it's a good illustration. When I lost my arm, and there were people who were afraid to talk to me. They didn't know what to say. They thought I'd be changed. And I remember there's a waitress at a restaurant I used to go to every week with a group of men. And when I walked in one day after my attempted murder, I was going to say accident, but it wasn't an accident, it was attempted murder, the devil tried to kill me. And I walked in, she walked to the other side of the store. She wouldn't even tell me hello. And I went and ran her down. And I don't remember her name now, but I said to her, hey, it's so good to see you. You know, I've been missing you, you know. And she looked at me kind of dumbfounded, like, what? And I said, what's the matter? She said, you're just like you used to be. I said, yeah, I don't have an arm, but I'm okay. You know, it's still me on the inside. And that helped her so much. You know that the troubles of life, we all have them, but in Christ we can overcome them. Let Him shine through us. Let people see Jesus. They're tired of our churches, friends. Nobody coming to the church. You know, hello, y'all come on in here now. Woohoo! We got the music, we got the overhead, we got the computer, we got the nice chairs with the lumbar support, so it doesn't hurt you back. You know, we got the greatest preach in town. Amen, hallelujah, should have heard amen on that. Ain't nobody coming here, friends. You know when they come? When you go through hell and you stand up and you overcome hell and they see it and they're going through hell, they'll come to you and say, can I go to church with you? That's when they'll show up. That's when they'll show up. It's good preaching, man. We have to charge for this CD. This is a good one. Be transparent. Let Christ be seen through you and in you, working in you. The way that we respond to tribulation reveals Jesus. Be thankful for the rose, the thorns. Be thankful for the thorns because they really reveal the rose of Sharon. was Christ the Lord. That's what they need to see. All right, moving along. Number three, third reason why, how you can be thankful in all things. Let troubles increase grace and thanks. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All this is for your benefit, so that grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of the Lord. All this is for your benefit? Excuse me, I don't need any more benefits, Lord. I don't need any more. I like to tell, my deal with the Lord is, well, Lord, I lost my arm. I won't have any more troubles for the rest of my life. Somebody remember the open heart surgery I went through a couple of years ago? And now I tell him, the arm and the heart, you wouldn't let anything else bad happen to me, would you? And I can almost hear the Holy Spirit laugh and say, yeah, I'd like to show you off, Mars. just like to dangle you in front of people and show you what I can do through you. So that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. God gets the glory in what we go through if we'll allow that glory to increase through us. God is looking for willing vessels that He can use. Remember the story of Job. I'm not going to preach that sermon today, but you all know God, the devil came up there and God just kind of polished his nails on his robe and said, have you considered my servant Job? He's such a cool guy. God was so proud of him. And he says, yeah, you take your hand off. Let me have him for a while. I'll show you what he's really made out of. And we all found out, didn't we? We all found out, didn't we, in the book of Job. Can God say that about you? Do you want him to say that about you? Do you want to be used, Lord? Oh, Lord, use me. You know what that means? Lord, I want to preach. Lord, I want to, do something wonderful in the church. But how's about the Lord let you go through a little trouble to use you that way? Oh, man, I don't know. That's negative preaching now, Pastor. I don't know. Maybe we should go down to First Baptist or someplace else. I won't be preaching this sermon down there. I'm not asking you to ask God for trouble. I'm just saying that when trouble comes, this is the way that you respond to it, okay? They say that, I've heard it said, if I said it myself, I don't know where else it came from, it came to my mind, somebody else must have said it, but grace flows from the fountain of hardship many times. It's the hardships the wine press, it squeezes out the juice. And God lets us get in that wine press sometimes and squeeze out. And what's coming out of us? Is it bitterness and rancor and hate and questions? Or is it the glory of God? Lord, I don't like this. I had a good friend of mine who was a fellow elder in the church, and he had cancer. And I went to the hospital to see him. And I said, Gil, how you doing? And he said, oh, I'm doing fine. I said, I don't want to hear all that religious rhetoric. Tell me how you feeling. He said, I'll tell you the truth, Morris. I am not happy about this situation. But me and God have not had a falling out about it. And I thought, what a great response that was. What a great response that was. God and I hadn't had a falling out over it. I'm not happy about it. Wine comes to wine press, and grace flows under pressure. Flows under pressure. I think some of you are a little cold. Tom, would you turn that air conditioning up just a little bit? Freddie's got his arms crossed like he's cold. I'm just picking on you, Freddie. Remember that it was the cross that opened the gates of grace. It was the suffering of Jesus that let mercy flow like a river. Flowed all the way from Calvary to your life. The goodness of God was seen at a place of horror. Jesus didn't want to do what he did either, In the garden, he said, if it were possible, would you let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What an attitude. And that same Christ that went to Calvary, if you were born again of the Spirit, dwells within you. Last thing, that I want to talk about, is let the heavy weight of glory fall on you. Let the heavy weight of glory fall on you. And let's look back at the text, 2 Corinthians 4. It's actually verse 17. I just want to look at 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And the Greek says, this is so heavy as to be a burden. That's what the original text means. That the weight of glory is so heavy as to be a burden. This might be the quintessential scripture to help us understand and be thankful in times of trouble. It's packed with Paul's use of words. And he does contrast. He said, there's trouble in his glory. There's momentary and there's eternal. There's light and then there's heavy. Troubles are so light that they're trivial. That's what the original context of the text says. They're so light, they're trivial, and they're easy to bear. Think about that. But the glory is a heavy weight. And this word was used to describe things like precious metals, like gold, or the weight of gold, or the weight of silver, or the weight of a crown that a king would wear, or the weight of a royal robe that a king or a pharaoh or someone like that would wear. He said, that's this weight that's upon us. The affliction was light, but the glory, the crown, the robe, the adornings in the kingdom of glory were not trifles, but solid, substantial, and weighty. Paul uses the language here, and we don't get it in the original. We don't get it in English as much as we did if we go, those of you who like to study a little bit more in depth in the scriptures, you can go look up this passage and look at it. But he repeats words in the Greek that you don't get in the English. He uses the same word. It's like when Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. Truly, truly. Making an emphasis, pressing in, trying to make a statement. And Paul says, our troubles are light. They're light. The glory of God. It's heavy. It's heavy. What a dichotomy of thought. We think of our troubles as heavy. No wonder Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. My burden, it's light. And Paul takes that thought and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he puts it here in the Scripture for us. He says, our momentary afflictions, they're trivial. They're nothing. They work for us an eternal weight of glory. A weight, the weight is the glory of God that's on us. The glory of God presses us down. It's the glory of God that overcomes us. It's the glory of God that brings us to our knees and to our faces before Him. That's what these troubles do. Paul understood it. He figured it out through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you read about Paul and all the things that he went through. He was shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and left for dead. And he had troubles beyond measure. And in this passage, you can go read the whole chapter for yourself. And he said, and we've been through these things, but they're light. They're momentary. But God is doing something better. He's working for us an eternal, not a momentary, but an eternal work of glory. Do you feel the weight of glory when you go through trouble? Or do you feel the weight and the burden of the trouble itself? What do you see with? Do you see with the natural eyes of man? Or do you see with the Spirit of God? Man, I don't know what your next telephone call is going to be. And I say this over and over again in this show. You've heard me say it. I don't know what the next phone call is going to be for you or for me of the trauma or the tragedy. My dear friend and our fellow church member, Barbara Radosta, just lost her husband. And we know the trial that she went through with that. And she's just starting to get herself back together. And she got a phone call that her mom needed surgery. And she rushed to where her mother was. And her mother couldn't even go through the surgery. And she passed away this week. Trials. they're there. But does the trial seem momentary? Does it seem light? Only if you see and live and breathe with the Spirit of God going through you. And when you do, you say, there's an eternal work going on inside of me. It's an eternal work. You say, like Paul said, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Serving God. You got anything to be thankful for? Man, just lay them out. Lay them out. Thank you, Lord, for all the beautiful roses of my life, all the wonderful things, the good things, the love of family, the love of friends, the fellowship of believers, the salvation of my soul, the glory of the Holy Spirit in my life, the prosperity you've given me, the breath in my lungs, the health in my being, the ability to get up and walk and to move and have my being in Him. I thank you for all those things, Lord. But I thank you that you counted me worthy that I could go through the trouble. I could go through the fire. I could go through the flood. Because the flames can't burn me up and the flood can't overshadow me. For in Christ Jesus, I am a conqueror and more than victorious in all things. This is the place that we need to be, friends, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for our own lives. If you want to, there's an old song we used to sing, and I don't propose to sing it for you today. But it said, if you want joy, you must ask for it. If you want joy, the little song says, you must clap for it. And then it really gets tough on some folks because it said, if you want joy, you must jump for it. And then some of the old people, out of the jump says, you want joy? You must laugh for it. And he's got a little thing that says, ha. Makes you, ha. Ha. You force yourself to start laughing. Pretty soon it's so contagious. Everybody's laughing. And you know what happens? The joy of the Lord shows up in that silly little song. Maybe you need to sing that little song to yourself. You want joy? Just ask for it. You want joy? Just clap for it. You want joy? Just dance for it. Jump for it. Sing for it. Laugh for it. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. 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 Father, you're so good. Oh, hallelujah. You're just so good, Father. We thank you for your precious presence here in this place today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant Paul, who went through so much so that he could learn and he could tell us and that we could understand the true value of serving you. Father, let this week that's coming up, this Thanksgiving week, as many of us will be traveling, Father, give us traveling grace and mercy. Keep us away. Keep the 18-wheelers, the 4-wheelers, the 2-wheelers, and all the other wheelers away from us. The only wheels we want to see is the fiery chariot wheels of the angels of the host of God all around us, protecting us, taking care of us. And Father, bring us back home safely to be joined together again. Father, we love you. We're thankful and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Before you're dismissed, I just one thing I want to tell you. That next week, I won't be here. I'm going to Florida to visit with my daughter. So I won't be here. Neither will Miss Pat. I'm taking her with me. Greg won't be here. He's leaving. He and his wife are leaving. They're going to Montgomery, Birmingham, wherever it is your mom here is. Yeah. So we have a treat for you, and I can't wait to hear it. We've got somebody to be preaching for you that only spoke once before here on a Wednesday night, and that's our buddy Jim Corbin. He's as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. You would think he was going to write an encyclopedia of all the work he's doing. So y'all come in, you pray for him. I know many of you be traveling. But the rest of you come and bring a friend. Say, look, I got this guy who's going to be speaking. He really needs some help. Would you just come and just come listen to him, all right? So Jim will be here next week, and I'll be here the following week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you and give you rest. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, yeah, go ahead. You're dismissed.